Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Jonah. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Lord, is not this what I said while I was still on my own in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would happen to the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please read the psalm responsively. "I will exalt you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. There is no end to your greatness. I will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty and all your marvelous works. They shall publish the remembrance of your great goodness and shall sing joyfully of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love."
Second reading from Philippians. "For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon, and then about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So the story of Jonah, it's right there in the middle of our Bible in the Old Testament, and it has two parts, and today's reading was the second part. And really, you have to know Act 1 to get Act 2. And in Act 1, Jonah is commanded by God to go to Nineveh. That's like being sent to, Kansas, I guess, on the other side of the state, you know, and proclaim God's judgment up on it because, I mean, there's some wickedness going over there in Kansas, everybody trying to keep up to date. But Jonah doesn't really know that he wants to do this. He says yes to it because God said, "Go, you can do this, Jonah." So he decides, he of course lives in Columbia, he decides that I don't think God is in a hurry. What if I just go down to the river and take the river to Kansas City instead? So he went down and he had a real good time in Jefferson City on the way. And then he got to the river and there was this boat coming by and he thought, okay, I'll get on this boat. And then when they stop, he realizes they're going to St. Louis instead of to Kansas City. But he thought, "Oh, I've always wanted to see the arch. I think we can go there first. God won't care." So he gets on the boat and he starts going toward St. Louis. And a huge storm came up in the middle of that journey that had begun. How did you do last night during that great storm? I mean, the wind was blowing, the rain was coming down. And so the passengers and the crew and all those on the boat couldn't decide what to do. But the tradition of the time was that you cast lots. You find out who was responsible for this storm. What can we do to them to get this over with? And so they cast lots. And the lot came up that the one responsible was Jonah. And Jonah owned up to it. He said, I know I did wrong. I'm not supposed to be going to St. Louis. I'm supposed to be going the other way. Throw me overboard. That's all I deserve." And the crew, they were mostly people from Arkansas, by the way. They said, No, we're not going to do that. We will pray. We have our own gods. We'll pray. We'll pray to your God, Jonah. Let us all pray that this storm will end. But it didn't end. Jonah said, throw me overboard. There's no other way. And so they said, no, we'll get out the oars. I bet we can use the oars on the boat and we'll get to the side. And they tried that. And the storm would not cease. And so they finally said, okay, Jonah, really, you think this will do it? And this isn't part of the story, but in the Jewish tradition, here's what happened. The people picked up Jonah and they dipped him down just his feet in the water, and the storm started ceasing. So they put him back on the boat and it started up again. So they put him down to his knees and it started, and then to his waist, and then to his shoulders. And he said, see, I told you, drop me in. And so that's how Jonah ended up in the water that day. Well, is God going to leave Jonah alone? Is God going to leave any of us alone? This is a great story because God provides, that's the word, God provides a huge fish. Bigger than a whale. I don't know how big whales are. This is a big fish. Are you liking this story? The fish comes up, swallows Jonah. Jonah's there inside. I don't know what it was like inside, except that he obviously had time to sit and think about what he had done. He had time to pray. Did you know the entire second chapter of Jonah is only a prayer? And it's the prayer that Jonah prayed. So Jonah didn't lose his faith. He didn't give up. He knew that this was something that God had in mind for him. He was going to learn from this. Little did he know that during that 3 days, the whale was going up the river the other way. And 3 days later, the kids love this part of the story. The whale vomited. Oh my gosh. Right there on the shore. Can you imagine how wonderful that is to be vomited out of a fish? The kids say, yeah. So that's the end of Act 1. Act 2 starts with the exact same words to Jonah. Jonah, you've got to go talk to these people. Their ways are evil. It's not things that they're doing to the people of Israel. It's not things they're doing to those around them. It's things they're doing to each other. They are not living right with one another. And you've got to tell them. You've got to walk across the city, the Kansas side of Kansas City, and tell them that they've got to change their ways. Or else I'm going to bring a storm on them that they're not going to forget. So Jonah walks the first day and says, 40 more days, and then the great city will be destroyed. Change your ways. 39 days, 38 days. He keeps walking. He keeps talking. He keeps saying this. And about a third of the way through the city, somehow the word had gotten out and the people believed Jonah, and they did what they're supposed to. They went into mourning. They went into praying. They asked for forgiveness. They called upon their gods. And they said, fall away. We will not do those evil deeds anymore. And even the king of Kansas City, who is Patrick Mahomes, right, said, all of us will, and all the people listened to him, and they did, and they repented, and God said, all right, this is what I wanted, this is perfect. That's the end of the story, except Jonah got so angry. Angry at God. And why? Why was Jonah angry? Because God had not done what he said he was going to do. Because Jonah had, told them that they were going to, and now they weren't. And, would anybody believe him? And wait, he had to go back home to Israel and tell the people that he had saved the people of Kansas, really? He doesn't want to do that either. He is just, anything you can be angry about, Jonah was angry about right there in that moment. And so he said, I knew that you were a merciful and gracious God. I knew you were going to do this. So he decided he would go up, and he built a little place for him up on the hill outside of Kansas City. And it was really hot out there. It was sunny. And what do you think he was doing sitting there? He was angry. He was mad. What? Pouting. Oh, my gosh. Yes, we're really good at that. We'll go to a place and pout. I wonder if he thought maybe God would change his mind again, and maybe he really could had a good vintage spot to see the destruction. I mean, I'm not sure what was going on in his mind, but there he sat, waiting. And the weirdest thing happened. This bush, this plant, this tree, something grew up around him to give him shade because it was so hot out there all day long. So God put this tree around him to give him shade. And maybe the word is God provided, just like God provided the whale. Maybe this will be the time for Jonah to come to his senses, to know what's going on. But no, he stays really, really angry. And during the night, this huge worm comes and eats this huge bush. You thought this was about a huge whale? This is not Jonah and the whale. This is Jonah and the worm. This is a great story. A worm comes and eats the tree. Do you think this is a little over the top? You know what's a little over the top? God's generosity, God's mercy, God's forgiveness. Because all of us, we believe in justice for those people. No, we don't. We don't want justice. We want them to suffer for what they've done wrong. We want justice for ourselves. No, we don't. We want mercy from God. What Jonah wants is mercy. And what God gives is mercy to these outsiders. And it just makes Jonah madder and madder. And where do you think this story is read in the Jewish faith? It's read during the High Holy Week. It's read during Yom Kippur, which you probably saw started this last week. And it ends on Monday is the last day, the big day, the holiest day of all. And on that holy day, what do our Jewish friends read? They read Jonah. It's not a children's story. They think it's, well, it is. Let's let our children learn it, but let's learn from this as well. And it's not about Jonah, because obviously he's not the good guy in this. If you want to find the good guy in this, you look at those Arkansas folk in the boat who prayed, or you look at those Kansas folk who changed their ways. Those are the good guys, and the bad guy is one of our own. It's Jonah from Columbia. Jonah from Columbia, who is not doing what God wants him to do. So what I wonder is, as our Jewish brothers and sisters during this week, on this high holy day, are committing themselves to live in a new year, to live a new beginning, to live as one with God, as they are choosing to let go of the wrongs, let go of those, I wonder if we can show the same kind of mercy that God does. What would that mercy look like? It might look like calling your unlovable uncle and asking him out to dinner. It might be being merciful to your lovely daughter who is still making way too many mistakes. It might be welcoming in those neighbors from across the border who are coming here seeking a life like our own. It might be being willing to listen to look at those who are on the opposite aisle of our political spectrum. It might be willing to let go of somebody we've been mad at for 47 years for what they did 47 years ago, finally letting go of it. Can we even try the hardest task of mercy of all, which is being merciful toward ourselves? Can we really try that hard task, trusting that God loves us enough to move beyond whatever shames we're still holding on to, our negative self-talk that we can do to ourselves, our mistakes that we will never make again, but we still hold against ourselves? Could we join with our Jewish brothers and sisters this time of year and just let the prejudices fall away and allow each other to claim God's mercy, the God of all of us? And can we bounteously grant that mercy to one another? Or are we going to be like Jonah, still sitting on the hillside with the plant that comes up, the plant that dies, the worm that crawls away? The people down in Nineveh are rejoicing. Even the cows are happy, it says. Even the cattle, even the animals, God's creation, all is happy there with God's mercy. Do you know that we never hear anything else about Jonah again? We don't know. I mean, obviously, this is a lesson to teach us. And we can learn from Jonah to sit on the hillside and be angry. We can sit there and still treat our neighbors the way that we way too often see neighbors being treated. Or, this is my last line for the day. It doesn't end with the word cattle. Let this day be the beginning of living in the mercy of God. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.